Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting.
Today is the day. So how are you and I going to show forth the gospel of Jesus Christ today in and through our lives? How are we going to be living demonstrations of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of the Lord our God? How are we going to exegete who God is to everybody else that they might come to know who he is? One of the folks who helps us do that is Nicole Phillips. She brings us a kindness moment. So, Nicole, what have you got for us today?
Well, I've been doing some research on the web, and I found this great website called reconnectwithcarmen.com. Have you heard of it?
I spend a little time
Maybe
there.
You have. Yeah, exactly. It's a great one, Carmen. I love it. I love the stuff you come up with. And you did some great research where you found these put off, put on statements that are in the Bible, like put off bitterness, put on tenderheartedness, put off wrath, put on a soft answer. And then I love this one. This one really convicted me. Put off discontentment and put on contentment. And the reason why that got me is because everywhere throughout the Midwest, people are getting crabby. We are sick of winter. We are sick of the snow forecast. We are sick of being below zero. You know, we want to burn those winter coats. But it's a choice to put off discontentment and put on contentment, and kindness can help us do that. There's a man named Aaron in Wisconsin who is a financial planner. And one of his clients had a birthday. And so Aaron went and got a DQ Dairy Queen ice cream cake, because even in the middle of winter, everyone, you know, ice cream is a good idea. Well, he went and knocked on the door, and his client wasn't home. So Aaron just left the Dairy Queen cake in the middle of the driveway. No card, no note, no anything about who it was from. He just left it there and drove off. A few hours later, the man came back. The client came home and saw this cake sitting in the middle of the driveway and was delighted. And we know this because of something he had posted on Facebook, just thanking the anonymous birthday cake giver. And, you know, that's not something you can do in spring. It's not something you can do in summer. It's not even something you can do in the fall. That is something that a way that we can use this discontentment from the winter to our advantage. And so I encourage people to look for those ways today to make that happen.
Okay. I completely love that. Remind me the next time that we talk that I need to tell you my ice cream cake story.
Oh, I would love that. Yes.
I didn't know it was an ice cream cake. I brought it home. I put it on the cake plate. I set it in the middle of the table. It was like 3 hours before dinner. Yeah, it was not good. Okay.
You cook like I cook. I love it.
Yeah. So that's Nicole Phillips. You can check out what she is doing at her website, NicoleJPhillips.com. Thanks for the shout out for reconnectwithcarmen.com. You are listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'll be right back.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the
Well, that's the walk-up music for Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Dr. Stevens, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
It's so great to be with you, Carmen, and congratulations on the show. I haven't been on since you started.
I know. You've been away, and we have talked to other people, but we are thrilled to have you back with us today. Let's bring people up to date on the Ebola outbreak. I'll just admit to you, this is actually not something that is even in the headline news here in the United States of America. So help us understand what is happening half a world away and why it matters.
Yeah, well, this is actually the second largest Ebola outbreak in record, and it's in the eastern Congo, way out in the jungle. I've been in that area of the world before, and it's just a jungle for miles. And it's causing some problems. They've had over 557 people have died, 888 people, the last report, that have actually come down with Ebola. Now, for people who don't remember Ebola, remember it's bad. It's a hemorrhagic fever. There's no treatment for it except just trying to deal with the complications. Some of you may remember Kent Brantley, the physician that was when this happened in Liberia a number of years ago that was brought back to the States and very much in the news. And so this is a big issue, and it's complicated, and that's kind of typical for Africa. Complicated for a couple of reasons. Once they're in the middle of national elections and there's a lot of stuff going on, including attacking people that are there trying to do relief and help these people. Doctors Without Borders, Center for Disease Control people out of Atlanta have had to evacuate. In fact, the head of the CDC and one of the top health persons from the World Health Organization are actually going to Eastern Congo to see if they can help get this stabilized somewhat, because the concern is, and here's where the real issue is, this has happened mainly in remote areas, but it is moving towards a large city called Goma, has over 1 million people. Now, the closer people are in contact, and that's much more so in a city, the faster this thing spreads. And from Goma, a lot of people go into Rwanda, Kenya, and other parts of Congo. So the concern about this really causing a even larger epidemic is of great concern.
So, Dr. Stevens, I think that highlights an issue that we suffer deeply from, and that is we're really only concerned when it might threaten us.
Yeah.
And so help us sort of like raise our heart level of concern for the individuals, the families, the communities who they are literally without resources in relationship to these things. Just sort of raise our heart awareness about what life is like for people in this remote community or this constellation of remote communities that are currently affected.
Well, this is a disease that starts out, if you can picture it, like the worst case of flu that you ever had. You have fevers, you have chills, and then you start having vomiting and diarrhea. And then it goes on from there to where you get dehydrated. If they're coming into my clinic when I was in Africa, I would have been pouring IV fluids to them, trying to stop the diarrhea and vomiting. But there's nothing like an antibiotic or anything they've given to them. And then they begin to bleed, and they begin to bleed out of every orifice in the body, from their nose, from their mouth, from their eyes, even from their ears. There's blood in the diarrhea. And this is what, three people die from this, even when they get treatment. And then it can be passed so easily. It's in the body fluid. So if you're taking care of your loved one and help clean up after them, then the risk for you getting Ebola is extremely high. It's in diarrhea, it's in saliva, it's even in sweat. And so this is a very difficult thing to control because there's no treatment. Now, the one bit of good news is after what happened in West Africa, they did work on a vaccine. Now, the trouble with the vaccine is they couldn't test it because you don't have these outbreaks all the time. But the little bit that it has been used, it's been 100% effective. So what they're doing in Eastern in Congo is that they're trying to find the circle of people that have been around you and could have possibly touched you. And immediately when they diagnose the case, they go out and immunize those people. Now, that sounds like great. The difficult part of this is in a remote jungle area. This vaccine has to be kept at least 79 degrees below zero. How do you do that in these remote areas? It goes bad if it gets warmer than that, for more than just a few hours. So you have to keep it extremely cold. You can imagine the difficulties in places where there's little electricity, remote areas, people are dying, and you've got to give this immunization. The good news is when it's given to those contacts immediately after they find the case, it's 100% effective. So far, nobody else has gotten it if they've been immunized. So this is an enormous challenge. The concern is it could break out and spread to other countries. And as it does that, go all over the world. So this Ebola virus is one of the things they talk about when they talk about bioterrorism. If they could weaponize this virus, it would be tremendously impactful in killing people around the world. Well, if it gets out and gets wild, it'd be terrible for people around the world. So that's the concern, as well as for these individuals who have very little hope. And they're in the midst of a civil war there. You know, the Rwanda genocide, that spilled over into Eastern Zaire and still goes on 25 years later. With different tribal groups trying to kill each other. So very difficult area to deal with this, and a very difficult disease to control.
Dr. Stevens, let's talk next in just a minute about medical marijuana. I know that you all have a new public policy statement on medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. And so let's talk about that next.
Sure. Well, medical marijuana.
You and I have to pause
take a break
before we do that. Yeah. So you're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge, continuing my conversation with Dr. David Stevens in just a moment. I'm Carmen LaBerge. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen, continuing my conversation with Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Dr. Stevens, let's turn our attention to one of the position statements that you all have developed and have posted on your website at cmda.org. First of all, let me just say that the list of things that you all have given a lot of thought to and posted statements about, particularly in the individual position statement portion of the site. If folks are looking for a resource and sort of like, how do Christians in the medical field think about abortion, advanced directives, AIDS, the allocation of medical resources? I mean, I'm just in the A section and there's like 15, but the beginning of human life, all kinds of conversations related to particular issues and conflicts of interest and disability and, I mean, and euthanasia and on and on and on and on and on. First of all, this is just a great resource, so thank you for it. As I have aging parents who are dealing with a growing number of the things on the list, it's providing me, you know, like a third-party, well-thought-through Christian perspective on issues that, you know, frankly, most Christians are not talking about, and we're certainly not thinking about them from a Christian worldview. We're thinking about them however the world is telling us to think. So let's talk specifically about medical marijuana. Help us think through that.
Well, medical marijuana is a euphemism because it's not medical. People are promoting this as if this is some new drug or something that has been tested, and it is not. And our, you know, summary of our statement, and there's about 7 or 8 pages, maybe 9 of information there, and lots of facts that are helpful to people as they think through this. But if we're going to call marijuana medicine, then we need to treat it like a medicine. What do I mean by that? That means that you do studies, you do research, you make sure that it's being produced with purity. It's not got contaminants. We know that the marijuana that's going around's got insecticides and fertilizer residue and all sorts of stuff on it. You see that it actually works for the issue. We're hearing a lot in the media saying that, well, marijuana is better than being, addicted to opioids. So take marijuana. Actually, marijuana actually causes you to go into opioids worse, and it doesn't solve the problem. There's a lot of hype out there, but the real studies that have been done shown is this is not an alternative. It actually is a pathway drug into opioid use. And so all these things about, just grow some in your backyard and treat your arthritis or treat your back pain or treat dozens of diseases that they claim is really bad information for people. And we don't know the side effects with other medicines. We don't know the proper dosages. It's got all kinds of carcinogens in it if you're smoking. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. So we've put out this statement to really help people think through this biblically, think through it scientifically, think through it socially, and give recommendations to the church and to lay people out there on this issue. As a group of healthcare professionals, over 20,000 of us, people teaching in all the major medical schools and institutions in our country, we can have this voice into the church and into the whole culture, and we think that's extremely important on this issue. I think marijuana is going to be in the next number of years looked back on like we've looked back on smoking, because I remember those days when smoking was really marketed to us. And we got so many people addicted. And then in the 80s, we began fighting against it, and it's decreased and decreased. Well, now marijuana is that new drug, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous for our children. It's dangerous for us as adults. And if there are some diseases that can be treated by it, I'm all for it. Let's do it. But let's use known quantities, known quality, and stuff that has been researched, and you know the right dosage. And then make it available in drugstores that's FDA approved, instead of saying, "Oh, just grow some in your backyard and take it how you want."
Can you Can you talk a little bit about CBD oil? I don't know about everybody else, but I get a ton of like ads pushed through social media related to CBD oil. I frankly don't know what it is. I actually know some folks who use it for a wide variety of reasons and concerns. So help me focus in on CBD oil.
Yeah, there's a number of active ingredients in marijuana, and THC is the main psychoactive one. That's the one that gives you the high, the mellow feeling, all that type of thing. And then there's CBD, that's cannabinol. And the other one is tetrahydrocannabinol, THC and cannabinol. Cannabinol does not have the psychoactive effects. And so people are very interested in this. It seems to have more of medicinal effects. The question is, what does it work for? What dosage should you take? The same issues. They've now come out with a one especially designed for a certain type of seizure in children that are resistant. It seems to be helpful. But there's a lot of hype out there, just hype that cures everything from athlete's foot to dandruff. I mean, they promoting this because there's a lot of money to be made. And you see that because of the huge amount of what's happening in Colorado, where the marijuana industry in Colorado, where this is legal, has 22 people at the state legislature trying to get them to legalize this or not put any restrictions on that part of marijuana. There's no other thing going on in Colorado that has that many people trying to affect legislation. There's huge money. They're selling stock on the stock market. So what do you do when you have a new substance? You want to increase the amount of use by people that are using it already, and you want to find new people that will be willing to use it. And that's why you're getting all this marketing. So we touch on this in our statement and talk about where it could be helpful, but all the hype trying to see through that, because people are being sold, you know, this is like snake oil. It cures everything known to mankind, and just take as much as you want and see how you feel. There are negative effects. CBD is not nearly as bad as THC, but you can spend a lot of money on something that's really not making a difference, and that's our concern.
So, Dr. Stevens, let's continue this conversation at a later time. I mean, even if you just type in legalized marijuana, right? So that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
And the recreational component of this. And I think that's going to be a theme of the 2020 Democratic primaries. And so I look forward to continuing this conversation in the future. Thanks for joining us today on Mornings with Carmen. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Next up, John Wood and Rob Roberts from Better Angels. We're going to talk about bridging our political divide. All right. Well, I'm curious what you think about that. If we have reached the point in our culture where men and women are both welcome into every role in the military, are they also equally required to participate in the draft? Should we need to do that? That it's true in Israel, by the way. Boys and girls, when they turn 18, they go and they serve in the Israeli military. It's a part of cultivating a love of country. So I'm really actually very, very curious to know how you are reacting and responding to that particular news item. You can email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. You can always text me at 877-933-2484. I know you'll have some feedback on that. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. So did you hear that Joe Biden, former vice president of the United States and very likely candidate for the 2020 Democratic nomination for president, he was speaking at a forum in Omaha on Thursday, and he committed what many on the left consider a great grievous sin. He called the current vice president of the United States, Mike Pence, a decent guy. A chorus of progressives and other activists pointed out that from their perspective, Mike Pence is nothing more than a homophobe and a misogynist. He can't possibly be considered decent. resulting in Joe Biden actually walking back his comments and acknowledging there's nothing decent about being the way Mike Pence is in terms of his view of issues related to sexuality and marriage. And so I think that we have reached a state of acrimony in the political arena that deserves our, frankly, our undivided attention. We have to be people who change the conversation, and we have to change the way the conversation is had. And there are some folks on the forefront of seeking to do that. They are called, their organization is called Better Angels. It's at better-angels.org. And up next, I'm talking with John Wood and Rob Roberts from Better Angels. We're going to talk about improving the state of our viciously polarized union.
Would you ever tell me that you demand perfection from your team? Probably not. But would your team give the same answer? Hi, I'm Mark Grayston with Parenting Today's Teens. Over decades of working with kids, I've heard hundreds of sons and daughters say that their parents needed them to be perfect. Now, I imagine that very few parents would actually confirm that statement. But there's clearly a pattern here. Even though you don't verbally demand perfection, maybe your actions say otherwise. Let me encourage you today to reflect on your relationship with your teen. Could you silently be telling him that he needs to perform to earn your love? Try out one of my favorite axioms. There's nothing you can do to make me love you more. There's nothing you can do to make me love you less.
Looking for more parenting wisdom? Go online to ParentingTodaysTeens.org or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
I like that choice of music, Paul Perreault. Thank you very much. Indeed, here comes the sun. We've got John Wood and Rob Roberts from Better Angels with us today. We are going to talk about how to change the conversation in America, frankly, by changing every conversation and the way that we as individuals engage in it. Gentlemen, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Good morning, Carmen. Thank you.
So let me just kind of volley back and forth if that's okay with you, John. Let's start with you. Why Better Angels? Why do we need help improving the state of our, frankly, polarized union?
Well, thank you very much, and yeah, it's great to be on with you and with my brother Rob Robertson. Better Angels is a national bipartisan nonprofit organization that was founded after the 2016 election to help heal the wounds that, you know, began festering between right and left, liberal, conservative, Democrat, and Republican in America after that contentious moment. And of course, even prior to that, the conversations were starting to devolve pretty badly in this country. And so what Better Angels does in a nutshell is we have all sorts of ways of fostering dialogue that allow people to see behind the stereotypes and the stigmas that tend to attach themselves to us on account of our being, on account of the political hat we wear. No pun intended, because there's some controversial hats that I guess are floating around that unfortunately cause us to look at each other one way or another. The reason that's important, and I'm happy to tell you a little bit about how we do that. But the reason that's important is because one thing we've forgotten in this country is the fact that you can't have a political or economic system work very well if it's not undergirded by good faith conversations. A Republican democracy is about people talking to each other and interacting with each other in some good faith, with some goodwill, you know? And without a certain level of social trust that exists between people, in spite of the differences we might have, not only does government fail to work, but families fail to work the way they should. People fail to be able to work together in the workplace in the way they ought to. Communities of ministry wind up devolving because suddenly we lose our ability to empathize with one another across the lines of difference. And in our opinion at Better Angels, it's just an element of patriotism ultimately to be able to see the point of view of your other, of your fellow American, to actually see yourself as on the same side of a national family with them, even if they might vote in a different direction. So we've got new brands of scandals where being nice to one another is actually cause for criticism, as you mentioned, with Biden and Pence. And that's exactly the type of thing that Better Angels is here to turn around.
So John Wood Jr. is the author of the upcoming book, Transcending Politics, Perspectives for a Divided Nation. He serves as a national leader for Better Angels. Rob Robertson is the Better Angels state coordinator in the state of Maine. So, Rob, let me let you pick it up there. When John says things like we need a restoration of good faith conversations, we need goodwill, we need social trust despite our differences, we need to cultivate empathy. We need to be seeing the point of view of the other. How does that happen, and how are you fostering that through Better Angels?
What a great question, Carmen. This speaks to my personal experience as a left-leaning person who divorced himself from everyone conservative in his life after the last election. I found that to be very difficult to live with because I knew people on the conservative side who were good people, honorable people, people who I valued. And I think people across the country on both sides of this divide find themselves disliking and distrusting people as a group when in the individual they know many who are quite worthy. And I decided to do something about that, got involved in Better Angels, and now we simply bring people together. We bring people together face-to-face who have differing opinions in red-blue workshops. We do that also in Better Angels debates. Last night we had a debate in Northampton, Massachusetts. The resolution was, political correctness stifles learning and debate and ultimately does more harm than good. And we had 60 people to sit down in a room to talk about that last night. We offer training to help people learn what their grandmother and parents told them again, essentially how to talk with people who have differing opinions, how to hear them, how to listen, how to speak so that they'll be heard. And we offer something that helps people depolarize or have a depolarizing influence within their own groups. We've seen people in the country really just blossom in this opportunity to overcome this disease in our body politic and our civil society.
So, John, let's pivot back to you for just a moment. You know, we are at least at some level familiar with efforts across the country to depolarize conversations. One of the unique things that I like about what you guys do is you just sort of embrace the fact that there are sort of like red people and blue people, for lack of a better way of describing it. You distinguish red and blue headlines where the same story is told from clearly polarized positions. And then you bring people together and you let them be red and you let them be blue, but you actually teach them how to listen to one another and talk with one another. So what's the end game? What's the end goal?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, Better Angels work is not about bringing reds and blues together so we can color everyone purple. We do expect and want for people to come in with their own authentic viewpoints and feel free to leave with them. Not that we want people leaving per se. Better Angels is building a community of reds and blues across the divide who will continue to disagree, but in learning about one another and in rediscovering those values that go beyond party, will continue to collaborate with one another to be able to, again, heal the wounds of our civil society, as Rob mentioned. And that's really the end goal right there. So people come to a Better Angels workshop, a red and blue workshop, and they're put through a series of structured dialogues that allow them not so much to argue about politics, but to speak from the vantage point of their own life experience in terms of why they see politics the way they do. That's really the magic of Better Angels programming. But coming out of that, we have all sorts of ways for people to stay involved with each other after they go through what is frequently just an impactful and even transformative experience that allows them to see, hey, you know, there's a lot that folks on the other side of the aisle have been through that allows me to understand and relate to them, and that gives me hope for our being able to work together. And so through what we call Better Angels Alliances, people can collaborate and organize in their local communities to affect issues of local concern to them and to help seed the work of further conversations in just the way that we're describing. And we believe that as this, you know, this new cultural norm of civility, which really isn't a new thing, but it's just bringing back what we always knew was common sense in America, right? As this norm spreads throughout the country through the work that we're doing and other groups are doing, we believe that from the grassroots, this can filter up in a way that changes the tone and tenor of our politics, and that heals relationships, and ultimately makes our political situation one that can turn around in the long run, regardless of which party is in office. And that's really what we're hoping for.
You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LeBurge. I'm going to continue my conversation in just a moment with John Wood Jr. and Rob Robertson from Better Angels. If you want to check it out, the website is better-angels.org. We'll be right back. So I appreciate those of you who are texting me and emailing me related to my comments about women being required to register for Selective Service. So keep those coming. My conversation continues now with John Wood Jr. And Rob Robertson from Better Angels. Okay, guys, I want to read part of this post. It's your post. It's called State of the Union 2019. We're so divided. We see others who don't agree with us as bad. Here's our solution. I'm going to read the lead. Thomas Jefferson once wrote, "I never considered a difference of opinion in politics and religion and philosophy as a cause for withdrawing from a friend." In his first inaugural address, Abraham Lincoln declared, quote, "We must not be enemies." 5 weeks later, the Civil War broke out at Fort Sumter. America is built on the pursuit of a more perfect union, but today we are yet again on the brink of a civic fissure so deep it threatens our democracy. So we are interested in moving forward from that point. And you guys at Better Angels are you're actually like doing it in real conversations with real people who are really red and really blue in terms of their political perspectives. You're not trying to change their political perspectives, but you are actually like teaching people how to engage with people with whom they have differences. So, Rob, I'd like to bounce back to you for just a moment here. What was your very first experience, as a quote unquote blue person being in a dialogue with a quote unquote red person?
That predates my involvement with Better Angels. Business relationships with folks who are conservative talking about politics and political issues. And
right. So can I pause there? Can I pause there for a second? Because I see that is what I saw as well in the opening quote from Jefferson. See, he acknowledges that he has friends with whom he has differences of opinion in politics, religion, and philosophy. The way that he phrases that is, I don't see that as a cause for withdrawing from a friend. I think the critical issue and challenge is most of us, many of us, don't have friends whose political, religious, or philosophical opinions differ greatly from our own. We've become a nation that looks so siloed off from one another in terms of our actual relationships. It's not about withdrawing from a friend. It's about actually establishing a friendship with a person on the other side of whatever aisle it is that we're dealing with.
Yeah, well, that's a terrific point. And of course, even that even goes beyond politics. It's just the era of social media that we're in and so forth. I think we have all sorts of ways, digital and otherwise, from sort of being able to that sort of allows us to show our worst selves to people that we don't really know very well. Now, I'm a Republican, a person who, you know, I actually ran for office as a Republican, but my family is overwhelmingly Democrat and so forth, Democratic. And I haven't really had much option other than to, you know, engage the people I love. And of course, I don't want to have to do that in ways that are, you know, polarizing and damaging. I mean, I want to find a way to communicate, you know, the values I believe in to the people I care about, even if we have some disagreements between us. So, yeah, I mean, you know, again, with the work of Better Angels, we're seeking to remedy that's part of it is seeking to remedy that siloing, introducing the American people to one another, and certainly particularly sometimes in cases where you have folks on one side of the aisle who really just don't know people on the other side of the aisle very intimately or very well. And just the initial act of starting that relationship, you know, is really the answer to so much of what I think plagues us in terms of the culture of our politics today.
Hey, Rob, let me ask you, because I cut you off earlier, and I apologize for that.
How have you seen this
conversation develop since its inception? So how has it developed as you guys have broadened the conversation from particular communities to statewide to nationwide conversations? And is it most effectively done, you know, at the intensely local level?
I think the only way it can be done is at the local level, because we have notions of who we are in groups, but when you see a person face to face and have the opportunity to interact with them, to listen to them, talk about what's important, then you come to understand that person and you realize that everybody who is on the red side or who says they're blue, they're not identical. They're all different. There's an almost infinite range of value and belief across each of those sides. And to understand that, I think, is key. We learn that people, all of us care about our country. All of us care about our communities. We have different ideas about how to implement policies or bring about change that would be helpful to people, but we all care. And that's one of the things that people are surprised and delighted to see, because, you know, we think the people on the other side are our enemy. And then we learn that's not the case. I've done
Gentlemen.
A number of workshops and people say, boy, if only we could get the folks in Washington to do this. And yeah, that's true. That would be wonderful. But I think it's going to take time for a groundswell of opinion to reach Washington, to tell the folks in Washington, we'd like you to behave differently now.
So maybe we could encourage them to be part of like Problem Solvers Caucus or some of those other bipartisan conversations that do happen on the Hill. Gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it right there today, but I look forward to continuing the conversation about the progress that you make in Better Angels. And friends, you can go to better-angels.org. If you are interested in, frankly, getting us beyond the polarized conversations of the day and actually making friends across those political divides. I'm Carmen LaBerge. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. So today is the last day before Lent. What do you got planned in terms of Lent? Do you have a spiritual discipline that you are going to adopt? Do you have a commitment you are going to renew? I find that actually looking back at, again, I don't like to call them resolutions, but the commitments that I made at the beginning of the year that, frankly, you know, I have either rationalized my way beyond or I've been too lazy to carry out. I find this to be a good opportunity to sort of revisit those and say to myself, maybe in the next 40 days, because, you know, you can actually cultivate a new habit in the 40 days of Lent. So maybe in the next 40 days, instead of trying to commit to something that I'm going to make, gosh, I'm going to change this for the rest of my life, I could at least make that commitment for the next 40 days. So consider, as others are giving something up for Lent, maybe you and I could take something on for Lent. We could take on a spiritual discipline and genuinely commit to it. Again, if you are not a person who is actively in the Word of God every single day, we want to offer you the opportunity to do that. We actually have a free Life in Christ class online that you can register for at myfaithradio.com. And if you need a Bible, let us know that as well. I'm Carmen LaBerge. You've been listening to Mornings with Carmen. Today's show will be posted shortly at myfaithradio.com under the Mornings with Carmen tab.
We would appreciate it if you would share today's show with someone new and visit us somewhere on social media. On Twitter, I'm at Carmen LaBurge, and online, I'm at reconnectwithcarmen.com. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.